Here's what I want to share with you. Today is the first day of the new year. Amen. Right? All of you are looking at me like I'm crazy right now, aren't you? I didn't hear that. Today is the first day of a new Christian year. Each Christian year always starts on the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is not something that belongs to any denomination. Advent was first celebrated, they know, at least in the year 480 AD. It is a practice that has gone on for centuries. The practice of preparing yourself and readying yourself for the coming of the Christ child. That's what Advent is about. And as the Christian year goes, the Christian year always starts on the fourth Sunday before Christmas. The fourth Sunday before Christmas. So Advent this year is 28 days, the longest period of time that Advent can be. And we will prepare over these next 4 weeks, preparing ourselves and getting ourselves ready to accept the Christ child in a new way again, as a new event, as a new time. One of my practices for Advent will actually start tomorrow when I bring in my nativity scene. I'm going to bring it in and set it up in my office. It's a nativity scene that I have had since I was a young boy, and I didn't know that my mama had bought it for me. And she gave it to me when I finally moved out, and she said, "This is yours." I thought it belonged to the whole family. But it was my nativity scene. If you come into my office anywhere in the next 4 weeks, you will see my nativity scene set up missing some things. It will not have the baby Jesus in it, because the baby Jesus is not here till Christmas, and I'm not going to rush that gift. I'm going to be preparing myself, getting ready for the baby Jesus to be there in the manger. It will not have the three wise men. By the way, three is not biblical. Go look that up. It says the wise men came to see the child Jesus, not to see the baby Jesus. The wise men were not there when Jesus was born. They saw the star, and it took them about 3 years to travel to the place to see Jesus. And they came to see the child Jesus, not the baby. And that's why Herod sends to the town of Bethlehem and has all the children, ages, all the boys, 3 and under, killed. He wanted to make sure that he got the Christ child. But the angel Gabriel had come the night before and told Joseph to take his family and go to Egypt. So the Christ child was no longer in Bethlehem. Folks, there's a whole lot to this story. And the reason I share all this with you is because I want to tell you, don't rush it. Don't rush it and set up the manger scene and everything is there. The Christian year helps us to celebrate the slow preparation and the coming of the Christ child. And it's not until January 6th, the day of Epiphany, when we celebrate what would be 3 years later in Jesus' day, the coming of the wise men with three gifts. That's where the number three comes from. I want you to think about these things, and I want you to be prepared for them, and I want you to focus on what's getting ready to happen for us as though it's a new event. Advent is an exciting time for me. We're going to spend each week lighting a different candle. The candle today was the candle of hope. And then there's the candle of peace and the candle of joy, which is a different color, by the way. I hope you noticed that. We'll talk about that when we get there. Why is it a different color than the other three? And then we'll light the candle of love. It's a time of preparing ourselves and getting ready. And as we are preparing ourselves, we're going to look into some of the words where people were preparing themselves even centuries before the event. Centuries before the event. Advent is a time for us to prepare ourselves once again for the coming of the Christ child. Once again, to prepare ourselves. And I want you to think about this before I read the scriptures. As you set up your mangers, whether you choose to put the baby Jesus in your manger before Christmas or wait until Christmas, that's up to you. But I'm willing to bet you're going to set it up this way. There's going to be a space right in front of the manger that's empty. Why is that space there? Unless you let the littlest of kids in your house set up the manger, quite often everybody sets up the manger with a space right in front that's empty. And some of you don't even know why you do that, do you? That's a place for you to walk up and stand close to the manger and see the baby Jesus. You don't have to get through the animals that are there. You don't have to get through the people that are there. You've set it up so that you can stand right close and see the baby Jesus. By the way, let the littlest of kids in your house set it up. Those that are preschool and younger. And they'll set it up. Everything is completely surrounding the baby Jesus. There's no blank space. In their minds, they're already right there in the midst of everything that's going on. They don't leave an empty space for them to step up into. They're using their imagination, and they're right there amongst everything that's going on. But we always leave a blank space. Mine will have a blank space when I set it up. And I'll bet yours does too. Let's look at what Isaiah has to say as he is looking forward to this day and the hope that this day will bring. In the second chapter of Isaiah, this is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. You see, even Isaiah, as God spoke to him and Isaiah looked forward, he saw this kingdom that was going to come. And this kingdom has some very specific things about it that our world right now does not have yet. Some very specific things that our world does not have yet. It says the Lord's temple will be established in the highest place, and all nations will come to it. The Lord's temple will be established in the highest place, and all nations will come to it. This is what Isaiah saw. All nations will come to this place that has been established in the highest place for all people to see it. We're not there yet, are we? But we're celebrating that that's going to happen. And we have the hope that that is going to happen because God told Isaiah about this. The next thing that happens in this kingdom, it says, all nations will encourage one another to join in pilgrimage to worship God together. All nations will encourage one another to join in pilgrimage to worship God together. It's not just one nation calling people to come. It's not just one nation that says we're a Christian nation. It's not just one nation. It is all nations will call and tell people to come on pilgrimage. And a pilgrimage, if you grab a hold of what that meaning is, a pilgrimage is not a short journey. A pilgrimage is a long journey. One that is often difficult and one that is hard. One that requires suffering. It will happen. Some of the greatest psalms in the book of Psalms is from, I think, from Psalm 121 to 134, I think it is. They're called songs of ascent. A-S-C-E-N-T. Songs of going up. And these songs sing about these pilgrimages, about people moving towards Jerusalem, about people coming. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to find out that all nations will be encouraging one another to stream, to journey on towards Jerusalem. What about you? All nations, not just one. That's the kind of thing that's going to happen when this kingdom is fully established. All nations will be looking towards the one God and encouraging people to worship that God and journey toward that God. Sometimes I do wish that we could go back and grab a hold of what people of faith after Jesus were called, before they were called Christians. Because it informs what we should be about. They were called people on the way. Big technical name, isn't it? They were called people on the way. People that were about this pilgrimage. If you looked at your Christian life, could you define it that way? As a person who's on the way toward the kingdom? On the way towards opening up new avenues and ways? On the way towards leading other nations to come to God? On the way. People of the way. I love that. But if I go out in the midst of the world and let people know, hey, you know what? I'm a person on the way. Some of them are going to say, yeah, keep on your way. And some of them are going to say, I don't know who you are, but that sounds like a cult to me. Folks, it's about a journey. It's about continuing on. It's about this pilgrimage where we learn more. Isaiah also says that God will teach all people how to walk in God's ways. God will teach all people how to walk in God's ways. It's God that comes down and teaches us. It's God that shares with us. It's the messengers of God that bring the word. It's the Holy Spirit that Scripture says is within us. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is within you. It is there. It exists. It resides. It walks alongside of you. It guides you. It encourages you. It gives you advice and guidance. It says that in this kingdom, God will be teaching people how to walk God's ways. And then the most exciting thing that I think it tells me is that God will settle all things between nations, and the people will turn warring objects into peaceful instruments. God is going to settle all things between nations. God is the one who will be the one that says this and that, the one who judges, the one who discerns, the one who says, no longer will you fight. And the people will see this happen, and they will take their warring instruments and turn them into instruments of peace. That's exciting, isn't it? But I want you to think about it in Isaiah's day, though, how exciting this is. In Isaiah's day, it would be something extraordinarily. It would be extraordinary for people to have swords. It would be extraordinary for them to have spears. And they would have to spend a lot of money to get those metal implements. And they would have to spend it to somebody who knew how to shape those things into a sword, into a spear. And Scripture says that hard-earned thing that they got a hold of, that maybe not every family had one of, they would turn it into something peaceful by beating it out so it could be used for another purpose. This is at great cost. It's not that, well, I'll just take the sword that I got and I'll turn it into a plowshare. They're losing an implement and gaining another one. They don't have the possibility to go back to war now because they don't have those objects anymore. Is that not an exciting kingdom to be part of? All nations are guiding us and leading us towards God, no matter where you go. God is teaching each and every person. God is the one who settles all disputes, and I realize that so much that I get rid of any implement that could be used for war at great cost. Now I want you to notice as we read this passage, though, all the way down through verse 4, it talks about all these other nations and not the people of God. It talks about what's happening for all these other nations, but not the people of God. Listen to verse 5 again. It says, come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. All of a sudden now, it invites the people of God to be part of what's going on. All the other nations were led first. All the other nations are encouraging first. All the other nations are putting away their warring implements. And now the people of God are called to come forward too. With a peaceful kingdom coming, we who are the faithful descendants of Jacob should walk in the light with great hope. We should walk in the light with great hope. Jacob is my father. No, that's not my dad's biological name. Jacob is my father, whose name became, I heard somebody whisper it, his name became what? Israel. He is my father. Abraham is my father. I have been grafted into the community of God by accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and all of those folks are my ancestors. Every one of them. It's not that it's stories I just study about to know the stories from the Old Testament. I'm studying about my ancestors. I'm studying about the spiritual genealogical tree that I come from. That's what I'm studying about. That's what I'm looking to. And since all the other nations are going to follow this God, should I not also, as the people of God, as the descendants of these great people of faith? Deborah is my ancestor. If you don't know who Deborah is, go sit down and read the book of Judges. A great and powerful and wonderful woman. Ruth is my ancestor. These are the people that I come from. And I need to join in the midst of them and have this great hope for the light that is coming, the light that will be here. And I need to have this hope as I walk in the midst of this world. Because if nothing else, I found a lot of people out there with no hope. No hope. Yes, I did walk for a number of years without knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then in addition, I walked a number of years without knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord. For me, that was two different decisions. I did not make both of those decisions at the same time in my life. But now that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, I want to get walking in the light and showing people this great hope of this kingdom that will come through the Christ child. Through God coming into the midst of this world as a baby. Folks, we could spend 4 weeks just thinking about that. The God that created over 160 billion universes decided to come as a baby and say, I need you. Somebody had to change the Christ child's diaper. Somebody had to prepare food for the Christ child. There were a couple of parents there with the Christ child teaching him how to walk. But wait, this is God. And God says, I come into your world with vulnerability, but I bring a kingdom of great hope and great light. So I ask you this. As God shares this invitation with us, will we answer by walking in the light with great hope? Will we answer by walking in the light with great hope? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you because you are putting all things right. We may not be able to see it at times. We may not be able to understand how you're doing it. But we know as we read scriptures that we can have great hope for the coming changes. Because there will be change with your kingdom coming into its fullness. So Lord, help us to step back in time in one way and to take these next 4 weeks of Advent and prepare ourselves for welcoming into our lives in a deeper way a God who decides to come as a baby. Help us not to rush that thought, but to live with that for the next 4 weeks. so that we might be able to see the hope and the peace, the joy and the love that the Christ child brings. Lord, guide us that we might be able to walk fully in the light to bring other people hope too. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.